This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9. And we're joined by very special guest, comedian Rob Caruana. How are we tonight?
Hey, hey.
Now, we saw you just walking around.
I was just down walking, a stroll in the city.
And you thought, just why not drop in? Well, we thought, you know, we'd call
we'd
down.
Guide you in.
Yeah.
You're the only place that's opened.
It's true.
We do like to stay open. That's right.
Because it is middle of the night. Not that much going on. But you've joined us for Laugh Out Proud. Starting off Friday is your right way.
The best way. That's right. But thank you so much for being here, Rob. Appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks
for having me.
Are you a Melbourne born comic?
I am. Yeah. I was born and raised
In
Melbourne.
So at what age did you get into comedy?
I don't even know what age I am now. No, do you know, I'm a twin.
Yeah.
And I always ask my twin what age I am.
Oh,
I don't keep track of that.
You don't keep, no?
I do know. Like, I am 33? No, hang on. Anyway,
you don't
like
look 30 at all.
What, 31 or something?
Oh, wow.
Turning 31. Sorry, I'm my girlfriend also helps me with my turn. No, I'm just so bad at I just
keep track of time.
So irrelevant.
Yeah.
So what's I don't know what age, but I think it was like 2012 maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Or something.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so who were your influences? Like, have you always been into comedy?
No, not really.
No?
I'm not even really that into comedy now.
No?
No, I do like comedy a lot, but I like movies more than anything.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And so when I was a kid, I guess that's what kind of got me into it.
Yeah, definitely.
Watching movies.
Okay.
And my dad was a circus performer.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
So,
oh, wow. So you can juggle like a champ.
Well, he got fired from the circus. So
for not juggling?
What's that story?
No,
Let's pull that back.
He was he was setting up the lion cage, right?
Oh, right.
You know when they bring the lion in and these guys run in and set it up?
Oh,
so
no.
He was doing that, and then one day he forgot to set it up, and the lion came out. No, I'm making up a more extreme version of the story. No, he was just the clown, and he didn't get up for work one day.
Oh, wow.
And they were
okay.
Like, you're fired. So he started with the lion cage and then got promoted to clown and then got fired.
Wow. Oof. Okay.
So,
Well, that's what a cool gig though, being a clown. Like, was he, you know, doing like getting chased by any animals or?
Nah, just running around.
Just clowning around.
Clown.
Yeah.
And it was really tiring for me as a kid because they did the show like 5 or 6 times a day.
Wow. Jeez.
So when I stayed with him, because my parents weren't together.
Right.
And I would visit him on sometimes.
Right.
And I would just stay there and I'd have to watch it like 6 times a day.
Jeez.
The same show. And it would be exhausting.
Mm.
But I think maybe that's what made me think like, oh, maybe I could do this.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't be in a circus.
Did you give clowning a go?
No, but I tried acting.
Yeah.
So I went to acting school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I had an audition for Neighbours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was going to play Rob Robinson.
Robinson. Yeah. How creative from the writers.
Yeah. Rob playing Rob Robinson.
Yeah. So, they wrote the character specifically for you, Rob.
Yeah. And I realized.
How's your audition process?
Well, I realized in the audition that I was so bad at acting.
Really?
Yeah, and I got really down on myself because I was like, man, I can't act at all.
No.
And so I told the teacher I was going to quit, and then he was like, oh, you should get into comedy.
Yeah.
Because I like a bit of a muck around.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I'm always distracting people.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, maybe you'd be good at that.
So were you the class clown?
Maybe. Maybe I was the class clown.
Craving that attention, right?
Yeah, but then I got expelled from school. Do you know what I just realized?
I'm noticing a pattern here.
My clowning career is like my dad's. Yeah.
That's awesome. Wait, you got expelled for making people laugh too hard?
Or not setting up the lion cage. Which
was
it? No, I was being real silly. A seagull dropped a fish into our schoolyard.
Right.
And I picked it up and I was slapping people in the face with it.
God.
Yeah.
Did you watch that episode of Big Brother then? Is that what?
Oh no.
Oh, no. I didn't know if you got that reference. That was
good. Hey, I used to be all over Celebrity Big Brother. I tell you what.
So only movies. So I mean comedians then, like, you know, any sort of.
Yeah, so I guess I never really was that big into comedians, but when I started comedy I was like, oh, I should watch some comics.
Yeah.
So I got big on comics. But as a kid
Australian comics or?
Yeah. American? Yeah, I watched a lot of Australian TV when like, I was a kid.
Galas and stuff.
Like comedy shows. No, I used to watch the Paul Hogan show.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And like Full Frontal, things like that as a kid. Eric Banner show. But but yeah, I really like the Marx Brothers, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin.
School,
yeah, I used to watch
school.
All that
wow,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So I love all that vaudeville stuff.
Right, right, okay.
Which is probably why I like doing like prop comedy, comedy, wacky kind of crazy things.
So what made you sort of like, you know, when the teacher said, "I'll get into comedy," then did you just launch straight into, you know, going to open mics? And...
Well, yeah, he told me to go to this comedy club and try it out.
Right. Which comedy club is that?
The Comics Lounge.
Right. Yeah.
That's where like a lot of guys in Melbourne start.
Did you do the workshop?
Yeah, yeah. They had the workshop going then. And I did that for a while. And then I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. And I started doing it. And it was pretty fun.
How was taking advice from other comedians? Did you...
Not use, very good. No? Because like I never ever write jokes.
Okay.
Like to this day.
Really?
So like I don't have any jokes, right? Like I'm not even kidding, right? Like last year when I did Comedy Fest, I just did a different show every night and just made it up off the top of my head.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
So I like improv comedy.
Yeah.
Because I got a bad memory and I'm really bad at telling jokes. So if I just have a bag of things, I can be like, oh, look at this thing. I like experimenting.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And like trying to do,
but when you have like, do you have set props? Like you know which props?
Not really. No? I just go to Safeway and buy some and like matches, rat traps,
whatever
sausages,
catches your eye,
and then I'll be like, I can do something with this. Sure.
So is it that thing when then you're on stage, you're able to find that punchline right there in the moment?
Yeah,
sort
yeah,
of
yeah.
Thing? Yeah, yeah.
Well, because when I was a kid, right, I used to make all my friends laugh by like sneaking into like the janitor's closet at school or something and just like picking up things and being like, what can I do with this and do something silly with this? And I'm not that smart. So I love to do silly things and people are like, don't do that. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And just to see. So I guess most of my comedy is like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm...
The unpredictable...
Yeah.
The wild card.
Yeah.
Has there been a moment, though, where you're like, oh, that joke went really well. I'm going to bring this prop for the rest of the week. Or I know I can come back to that joke or prop down the track.
Really?
Nah, if it goes well, I just will never do it again.
Really?
If it goes well, I'm just like, that was awesome, but I want to try something different.
That's awesome.
I like trying different things. And also, a lot of the stuff I do, I can't redo. Like,
okay.
When I ate 12 habanero chilies
in a row. What was that? Hotspot?
Yeah, hotspot. So I did 12 of those, and then I nearly had to go to hospital for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
So I was like, eh. And so that went pretty well.
Wait.
But I was like, I'm not going to do that again. Yeah.
Wait, so what? Okay, so how was, you got a good pain threshold, but like, at what point did you go, okay, I actually need to go to the hospital from these chilies?
Well, because, Luce was with me,
yeah.
And she's my girlfriend. And do you guys know Kev Lim? He's a Melbourne comic, right? And so he used to be a paramedic, right?
Oh, right.
Wow. Okay.
And so everyone was like, don't do it. One's like the hottest chili. And then I wanted to do 12 because I'd previously done a gig where I drank 12 beers in a row.
Oh, nice.
And so anyway, so I did the 12 and then I was like violently ill in the alleyway, right? Yeah. I don't want to be too disgusting, but like everything I'd ever eaten in my life
really?
Was no longer a part of me.
Oh.
Right? And so then the paramedic guy, Kev, was like, we got to go to the hospital. And so we started to drive to the hospital. But then I remembered I had another gig. And I was like, oh, I got to go to that gig. So we went to the other... I was like, I'll just do the other gig first and then I'll go to the hospital. And we went to the other gig. But then I started to feel better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when you do comedy, you get like a natural high.
Yeah.
And then when I was on the stage telling the story...
Forget about it.
About how I was about to go to hospital, I was like, ah... That's actually, I'm actually feeling a lot better.
Was there no moment during eating the 12 where you're like up to number 11 and be like, oh, no, I can stop here. No, 11's
yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough.
No, I should have stopped at one. It was real hot. It really hurt. Yeah.
Because everyone does just one, right? At the hot
spot. Yeah, just one.
Yeah.
That's and
the
then,
thing.
Well, because Blake and Luca, who've been on
friends
this,
of the show.
We were having a bit of a chit chat and they were like, I was like, oh, you know, I did the 12 beers. I should do 12 chilies. And they were like, you'll die if you do 12. So that's what I was experimenting to see
to
if
see
that
if
would happen.
You will die.
Yeah.
But wait. Okay, so by the end of the other gig, you were fine, and Kev was like, oh, you're good now.
Yeah. Kev was like, oh, you're looking a bit better. Maybe okay. Just go home. And then I felt better. Like, I actually felt really great. I lost a lot of weight.
You should come out with your new weight loss. Weight loss.
You could write a book with all that.
Yeah.
But I Googled it to see what would happen if I did it. And everyone just said don't do it, but no one said what would happen. So yeah, I was like, okay, let's find out.
Leading the experiment.
That's right. You're a pioneer, Rob. You're a pioneer.
Yeah.
But so okay. So what rooms after the Comics Lounge? What rooms were you hitting? After
well,
that?
So I did the Comics Lounge for a while, but the Comics Lounge, it's great, but they love like kind of structured jokes, right? And as I've explained, that's not really my kind of style. Mm. So then I just started going to like all the open mic rooms. Yeah. Like most of them aren't around anymore, the ones I was doing back then.
Oh, really?
Like the Rochi. There is a new version of the Rochi.
Yeah. Right,
but the old Rochi is gone. And Pugs, that's not there anymore.
Right.
Anyway, I won't list a bunch of dead comedy rooms because no one cares about that.
The Wild.
So I just started going to all these rooms, and then I realized open mic rooms are the best because you can kind of muck around have like a lot of fun.
That's right.
And do like a bunch of silly stuff.
Just go crazy.
So yeah, I always wanted to because I I'm not very good at comedy, like writing jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to kind of be the act that if you came to a comedy show, I would be like, you know, if you go see like Police Academy at Movie World, the guy who like warms up the crowd.
I always
wanted to be like the mid point act, so everyone can go get a smoke or something. You don't really have to pay attention to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if you look over, I'm doing something silly and wacky.
Right.
They'll
immediately elicit a laugh. Sort of thing.
It might not make a lot of sense, but you know, you're like, oh, look at that. That guy's on stilts or something.
Wait, have you performed with stilts on
stage? Yeah. I walked, last year when I booked my comedy fest, it was at a venue with stairs.
Oh, God.
On the stage. There was a staircase on the stage. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to do something with this staircase.
Yeah.
So I bought stilts. I've never worn them in my entire life.
How much does stilts run you?
It was like $159. They were actually plastering stilts, and they're illegal in Australia.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, but on the box, it says, not for use on work sites. And I was like, well, I'm not really a comedian, so I guess I can use them, right? So
and you didn't say stairs.
Yeah. So I made it the goal that I would be able to walk up and down the stairs on those stilts by the end of my Comedy Fest show.
Oh.
And because I'm doing a different show every night, I'm like, I'll be able to muck around and this will give me heaps of stuff.
Mm.
So, and I did it. And
did you work it into the show at some point every night?
Yeah, in my show, it was like a kind of crazy thing. I did have rats traps on the stage and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And all sorts of stuff, like a big bucket of water. I can't remember all the other stuff. Just a bunch of stuff that Luce told me, don't use that. And then I got the stilts and I got the insurance. So if I died, it would be okay, right? And so, yeah, then I was walking up and down the stairs. I just would pull them out and tell people, I got him off eBay, and the guy had like a 33% rating.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no, they're not going to come. And then they did come, and I was like, oh, no, something else must be wrong with it. So, you know, it's even worse.
And Rob Caruana is still sticking around with us.
Hey.
Thank you so much for sticking around. You're doing some crazy dance moves during that song.
Oh, yeah.
We had no idea what they were called.
Seen them before.
Never
in my
seen
life,
them ever.
No.
The banana bounce.
The banana, yeah.
The kiwi coconut.
That sounds about right. That makes sense as to what you were doing. Did you make a banana shape?
Yeah.
So
that's beautiful.
You peeled it back. I like it.
That's it. That's awesome. I was doing it all. But very tropical. I love fruit.
Really? You're a fan of fruit?
Oh, yeah. Big fan.
Yeah.
Do you like fruit?
I will occasionally eat an apple because it keeps the doctor away, I think. Is that what they say?
That's what some people are led to believe. Yeah.
Okay, keeps that's a theory.
The doctor away.
What's your favorite fruit then, Rob?
You know, I go to the doctor, though.
You do?
So,
I'm eating my apple a day, so I don't need to.
Does the doctor ever come to you?
House calls.
Yeah.
Only if I haven't eaten my apple.
Or I've eaten 12 chilies.
Exactly.
Yeah. They just arrive.
No, no doctor comes then.
Just a paramedic.
What's your favorite fruit?
My favorite fruit has to be the banana.
Banana. Yeah. Banana is great.
How do you eat your banana though? That's a thing. Are you, you know, do you get embarrassed, like self-conscious about just like, you know, eating a banana way it's meant to be eaten? Right. Or do you like, cuz there's some people that are super paranoid about it and like break it off.
Yeah, they don't want to make eye contact during the
insertion of the banana.
Oh, cuz it's a bit phallic.
Yeah, it's a bit phallic. It is.
Oh, right.
But, you know, you just, that's, they're dirty.
But what they say is that the healthiest part of the fruit is the skin of it. But then how does that apply to a banana when you, that's the wasted part of the whole fruit?
Yeah. Mm. Or a coconut.
Exactly.
Right. Do you eat the skin of a kiwi fruit?
No, I do not.
Oh, so that's where you're going wrong.
You're not meant to, right? It's furry.
Yeah, you can. You just go for it. It's easy. It's a lot easier.
Way.
Yeah,
you really eat that?
Yeah. It's easy. It's a lot easier just to eat the kiwi fruit.
No.
By eating it like an apple.
No, I can't do that.
Really?
No way.
Next comedy festival show, that's what you're doing. 12 kiwis.
But I already did a banana skin last year.
Did you slip on it? No.
No, I didn't slip on it. But that was one of my posters one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got them to take that photo and then someone was like, "That's stupid." And I was like, "That's the point."
What was the process of taking that photo? Like, how many times did you slip on that banana until that perfect shot was taken?
No, I was pretty safe. I had my foot just hovering above it.
Right, okay. It was a staged fall.
It's actually pretty hard to slip on a banana.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be surprised if anyone actually ever has.
No. Yeah, I think it... I don't know how that stereotype came
They're
about.
They're not that slippery.
No,
it should
really.
Be soap. Soap should... Soap's really getting stolen credit from that banana peel.
Yeah, too slippery.
For the slippery. Mm. So you said it was a poster for one of your old shows. How many comedy festival shows have you done in your time now?
Well, I've done 3 solo ones.
Yep.
And then I did a couple of split ones. So maybe 5 all up.
Awesome.
And were the split ones like when you were just first getting to the comedy festival?
Yeah. When I was first, I think I did comedy fest like the first year.
Oh, wow.
I was like into comedy. Nice. I was just like, oh, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
So I'm a really like rush into things.
Why not? Yeah, might as well.
I don't think about things much.
Who did the impulse goes?
Yeah. Give it to me.
Who did you share the bill with?
Taco was the first person I ever did a show with.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he started comedy pretty much the same day I started comedy.
Oh, really?
The same day. I like that.
Yeah.
You can have your anniversary together.
So we met each other and he asked me, did I want to do it? So actually, he's the guy that rushes into things.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, yeah, all right, I'll do it.
Why not?
What was the decision to go solo after doing the split bills then? Because of course it's more work that, you know, there's a lot more steps to the production,
well,
but I guess you control more.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I didn't write the show.
That's true.
I was just like, oh no. Actually, do you know, the first year I did it, I really planned on writing the show. Right.
Okay.
And like having a written show. But I'm like, I was really bad at school and I like, never did my homework and stuff like that.
Just
and
like
I
Ashley's,
knew
yeah.
that date was coming and I'm like, oh no, it's so close. It's so close. And then like literally the day before I was like, I got nothing. And I just went out and just wished for the best. And so, and my wish came true.
And you've
the
lived.
First show went pretty well.
Yeah. You've lived by that method.
Yeah. And last year I had no show planned.
Wow.
And then the first night of the show, they told me that Chortle was coming to review it. And I'm no. I don't have a show to review, though.
Wait, so how do you come up with the titles then?
Or
the
even
show?
The pitch?
Well, my titles are pretty generic.
Like, right.
Last year, my show was called Festival Comedy because it was a comedy show in the festival.
I get it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that.
And the first year, my show was called Learn Comedy. Because I was learning comedy, right? So
did people come like, I'm here to learn comedy?
Yeah. That's what the Herald Sun wrote. They wrote that even the title of the show is a joke, and I was like, I didn't mean that. So yeah, oh, happy accident. Yeah, and my middle show in between those two was silent comedy. Because I wanted to set myself a challenge. Mm. I was like, if I set a challenge, it'll push me to actually write a show.
Right.
So I called my show Silent Comedy. And then I was like, if I call it Silent Comedy, that means I can't talk for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So I did a 50-minute show where I couldn't say a word. And I was like, if it's going to be completely silent, I'll have to write a show. Because you can't improvise if you can't talk.
That's true.
And then I still didn't write a show.
You can improvise like slapstick, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, I did. That was probably the most prepared show because I built some stuff. I had this like this funnel thing that like hot coffee would flow down and
Jeez.
Stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
And boiling hot.
Yeah, boiling hot coffee. Yeah, and I had a lot of paint and stuff, and I had sausages in that show
Fantastic.
Too. And I ate cat food in that.
Oh,
really?
How does it taste?
It's real bad.
Yeah.
But you know, it was in a hotel. That was at the Swanston Hotel.
Right.
Okay.
And then they complained about my show, the hotel owners. Oh, really? They're really nice people. But they were like, you got to get rid of the sausages and the cat food. Because the sausages bring rats and the cat food brings the cats. Right. But I was like, but then the cats eat the rats and everything's sold.
Yeah.
Haven't you seen Tom and Jerry?
Yeah. So, and I was also lighting matches in there, and it was at the bottom of the hotel, and they were like, you can't light matches in an enclosed room with no ventilation, which makes sense to me.
So has that been a consideration now when you're looking at venues and things like that, or it's a second thought after you've booked the venue of letting them know?
It should have been consideration. Yeah. But my new producers last year, they were so nice, and they were like, they kind of knew me and they knew what I was going to do. So they were like, Rob, just don't hurt yourself and everything's okay. And then they came and saw my show and I was like using darts and stilts on stairs and stuff. And they were like, oh no.
So the insurance companies must love you then. That's...
Yeah. I get duck for cover. Right?
Oh, God.
Which is actually a good title for my next show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Someone write it down.
So, yeah. Actually, that's... I wonder if I called it that, would they give me a bit of a deal on the insurance?
Yeah.
What time have you done like taking comedy on the road?
No, not really. No, I have never really traveled much with comedy. So I guess like, because I do like stay pretty busy in Melbourne and I'm with Luce and stuff and I live pretty far out of town.
Oh really?
I'm down in the beach area of Brighton.
Oh,
right? Yeah.
Oh, that explains the suit.
Yeah. Well, hey, well actually this is a cheap suit and I live in East Brighton.
Oh, okay.
You know, I ran into someone the other day and they were like, where do you live? And I was like, Brighton. And they were like, whereabouts? And I explained it and they were like, that's East Brighton, not Brighton.
Oh.
Yeah. They get a bit la-di-da down there, eh? Yeah.
So was with the suit, was that always a conscious decision for you?
Well, it's because I hate jeans. Right. I really don't like jeans. And so I grew up in a beach town. And I was always in Cape Patterson when I was a kid.
Cape Patterson had the best potato cakes out. Well, no, second best potato cakes.
Where's the first best?
Down on the corner of...
In Fitzroy, on Napier and Victoria. Yeah. Yeah, we got the spot. We got the spot.
Yeah, that's right.
But
next
that's
AC,
great.
Right next to ACU.
But they've got the name of the shop, but, you know, they're forever the potato cake shop, you know?
What makes the potato cake the best?
Crispy enough and just... You know, a good fried taste.
What makes the CP one have a step down?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We haven't had them compared next to each other. We haven't done the drive from Fitzroy to
CP. We haven't done the double blind test. We haven't done it. It's not scientifically proven yet.
So I always wore shorts, board shorts, right? That was kind of what I wore everywhere. And then when I saw the Comics Lounge, I was like, man, they're probably not going to let me in board shorts.
Oh, wow.
So I had to go buy pants. And I went to the op shop and I tried on jeans, but I hate them. Mm. There's nothing I hate more in my life than jeans.
Really?
Right?
Crazy.
And so I couldn't wear them. So then I was searching for another pair of pants and I found these slack pants.
Right.
Yeah.
And I bought them on a hanger and the hanger came with a shirt and the jacket.
Oh, right.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
As a combo. And so I bought it and
how
I was
much?
Like, well, if I'm going to put the... It was like $25.
Oh, nice. Decent.
And
nice.
So I'm like, if I'm going to put the pants on, I might as well put the rest on. So I did the whole thing and I went, yeah.
But it sort of harks back to like, what you enjoy in comedy. Anyway, the sort of old style, you know, going off on stage with a suit. And, you know, owning the stage with a suit, because I guess that was sort of the old time.
Yeah.
If someone goes on stage
with
a suit.
It's like a happy accident, or maybe it like subconsciously happened. But I also love the Beatles and I like the Blues Brothers and they all wear sort of black suits too. But actually, it was probably like, because the first time I ever did stand-up comedy, it was like boiling hot.
Oh, right.
And then I thought, forget it. I'm just going to wear shorts, right?
Yeah.
And then I couldn't find a t-shirt to wear, so I wore the top of the suit and just board shorts.
Right on.
And I went to the Comics Lounge, right? Like that. And Dilruk Jaisinghe came over to me, and he's like, never do this again. And he's like, you need to put the pants on and just wear a suit. And Dil likes to wear a suit as well.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, cool. So, yeah, I started doing that. And then I realized, because my comedy is silly and there's like a lot of paint flying around and a lot of like silly things, it's a lot funnier to see a guy get covered in paint if he's wearing like a fancy or what looks like a fancy suit. Than if he's wearing like casual kind of clothing.
So how many suits have you gone through in your comedy career?
What's your suit budget?
It's clocked into hundreds. That's crazy.
In my show last year, I literally destroyed my suit at like two times during the show.
No.
Yeah, and I had to change it like during the show because my show would start. Well, some of the nights it started with me coming out and being like, good evening, class, and pretending that my black suit was like a blackboard, yeah. and then getting paint and being like, my name is Rob Caruana, and painting it on my suit. And then, so then I had to throw that away. And then there was a big bucket of water that like drenched me at one point, and I had to throw that one away. So,
does that mean you carry like 4 suits on you at a time, at all times?
Only for that show, I had some backstage. But yeah, but I have just hundreds of them in my closet.
So where do you have like a suit guy? Like you go to a suit?
Nah, just the op shop. I buy them all from the op shop because they all get destroyed so quickly. Yeah. So I can't actually spend money on them.
So what does a suit run you from an op shop?
It's pretty cheap. It's like really cheap. Like never more than like $10 for just the... It's mostly the jacket I have to replace.
Sure. Yeah.
The pants and shirt can stay pretty good. Although I used to have this joke where I would like point at someone in the audience and be like, pretend to shoot me with your hand. And then they would do it and then I would fall over because I can like... pretty much dislocate my bones when I need to, right?
Got crumple physics.
Yeah. And so I would like fall back like I'd been shot. And then when I got up, I would open my jacket and my shirt would be covered in blood, which I prepared before. So I had to like get rid of that.
How'd you fix the blood? Did you get like a blood pack or?
No, it was just already there, but no one could see it because of my jacket. And so then the guy shoots you and you fall down and you come up and a silly little joke.
That's awesome. You should totally take the comedy on the road, man.
Yeah, I guess I should, but like I'm so lazy with that. Yeah, I really need to be more.
But you are spoiled for choice here in Melbourne, like you were saying before. There's so much. Keep yourself busy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, what are the rooms you hit up these days?
I pretty much go like I love all Luca and Pete's rooms.
Yep.
Like I'm so bad at the names of them because they're always changing. What's the one on Collingwood?
Dirty Secrets.
Dirty Secrets. Yeah. I keep going to say Death Star because that's what Trav used to call it, right? And they always yell at me. They're like, it's not Death Star anymore, right? Lido is great as well. Yeah. Open mic at the Impy.
Yeah.
Although it's not called that now. What is it called now?
Rookie Nights.
Rookie Nights. So, I just love... any comedy. I'll go perform anywhere. I really will.
I've done
some pretty like nuts gigs.
What about like Spleen?
Yeah, Spleen's great.
Catfish?
Yeah, Spleen's great. Well, last time I performed at Spleen, I snorted flour.
Wow.
And it got really caught into my nasal passages.
Oh, no.
For days. It didn't come out. It would probably have been better to like snort heroin or something. Yeah. I don't know. Do you snort heroin?
I don't know.
You can if you want to.
But
was that an invitation?
I don't know.
If you want to.
Yeah, it's an open
flour's invitation. Real bad, though. It's in your throat and
stuff.
That's
how they make
really
paper mache. So you like just ingested glue, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Is that really? They use
yeah, it's just flour and water. And that's how you paper mache.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Imagine, like, just an entire paper mache of my insides came out. That'd be great.
Molds of all your insides.
Yeah.
That'd be great. But you said you got a podcast?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a podcast with my girlfriend now, Lucy.
Right on.
And it's called The Film Lovers Podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so we pick a subject. Like, the latest episode was a Halloween one.
Nice.
The subject was witches.
Ooh.
And so we pick 5 witch movies each. And we don't tell which movie we've picked.
Okay.
And then we reveal them to each other throughout the episode.
Was the Lion and Witch in the Wardrobe one of them?
No, that wasn't one. Oh, I didn't even think of that one. That's a great one.
I didn't even
save
know
it
that
for next year.
There's
though,
a witch involved.
Yeah.
Is there obviously there has
to
be a witch involved.
Yeah, there must be a witch. Yeah.
That's been the title, yeah. I don't know.
What a misdirection if there wasn't. Yeah.
But what other movie titles have witches?
Or
what
Suspiria. Other films? You know Suspiria?
Yeah.
No.
The Love Witch?
Right, okay.
Have you heard about this?
What's that one with the 5 witches?
Is it The Craft?
No. It could be. I don't know what it is.
Hang on, what else do you know about it?
It's like it has like Shannon chick that's... from Charmed maybe?
Are you talking about Charmed?
It could be Charmed. Yeah. No. She did a film. She did a film.
I thought maybe you were like, no, it's not Charmed. Oh, Charmed season 2. Charmed season 2. That's what
I
was
saying. They did a film and it's like, I don't know, 5 witches doing their thing in a house. You know how witches go.
I don't know that one. No. I can't think of that one. I think it's Charmed
always
season 2.
Always over a cauldron.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
It could be. I think it could have been.
When Piper was there, yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people get that podcast?
It's on iTunes.
Nice.
And Libsyn.
Yes.
Right? Although I don't know if anyone goes... do people go to that website to get podcasts?
There's a few other alternatives. People are against the iTunes, you know. So if it's somewhere else, you got to provide it for them.
Yeah, I know a couple of guys that are against the iTunes. Yeah. So if you're against the iTunes, just Google The Film Lovers. Oh, and we're on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page.
Fantastic.
Facebook page. So, and do you have a Rob Caruana?
I do. Facebook Rob Caruana, comedian / stuntman.
Oh,
yeah, and I think I'm going to get rid of the comedian.
Yeah,
just go straight for the stuntman.
That's legitimate. That's good. You should have you like thought about doing that for films, like actually.
Yeah, I'd do it. I got no training, so I don't know if I could get through it.
What's the route in which, like, I don't know, how do you train to be a stuntman?
I don't know. Experience. When I was on Live on Bowen, they were always, like, getting really angry at me for, like, wanting to use fire or, like, drop things from the rafters of the ceiling. One time we dropped a cake from the rafters of the ceiling and had it attached by this, like, big rope and stuff, and they were really angry about that other stuff. Yeah. They didn't like us doing all that dangerous stuff. And one time I got on Luca's shoulders and, like, backflipped off onto the couch.
Whoa.
And stuff.
Did you stick the landing?
No, I got so hurt. Yeah, I'm not
See, these are all the things you apply to the people so you can become the stuntman. For
I think if I just keep doing dangerous things, that's eventually people will think that I'm experienced.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Because when they reviewed my show where I used the stilts, they wrote in the review, Rob Caruana acts like he doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So
that's
joke's on you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming down, Rob.
You're
really
welcome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.